Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to talk about Mental Health Month with the Minneapolis VA, check in with the Hibbing Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network, and get an update from our County Veteran Service Officer. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
It goes without saying that mothers play an important role in our lives. They offer love and give us the strength to persevere when the going gets tough. In the military, we have mothers who serve proudly. They are dedicated, hardworking women who conquer the challenges of balancing military and family life while serving our country. And let us not forget all of the Gold Star mothers. These extraordinary women endure loss and pain that most of us will never know. Their children made the ultimate sacrifice for our nation, and we are forever grateful. This Mother's Day, I want to thank all of the mothers and grandmothers out there. Your sacrifice and support are essential to accomplishing our mission. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening, we're going to talk to our guests from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system about Mental Health Month and about the Compact Act program. And joining me now to talk about them are David Holowinski and Emma Podobinski from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. David, Emma, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
David, you've been with us before, and we're starting out the program today with a great message from General Mankey. Mother's Day's coming up. That's a great day for families to get together, and hopefully everybody has a great Mother's Day holiday, and maybe next week if they need help with something, we can get them over to the VA.
Absolutely. It's a great month.
You've been on the show with us before.
I have.
But can you tell our listeners what is your position at the Minneapolis VA and how long have you been there?
Yeah, so I've been with the Minneapolis VA for almost 17 years, and I currently work as the program manager for the suicide prevention program.
Very good. And Emma, how long have you been at the Minneapolis VA?
So I've been there, it'll be 11 years this summer, and I'm currently the Compact Act program coordinator.
Compact Act. Program coordinator.
Good
job. And we're going to dig into that in the second segment. But in the first segment here, we want to talk about Mental Health Month. And I'm going to focus on David, but you can jump in anywhere. You just give me a high sign and we'll bring you in, Emma.
Sounds good.
Okay, David. Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center. They take care of almost every aspect of care for our veterans and nearly everything for the lady veterans, except I don't think they deliver babies. And they're going to get a new a clinic in a year or two, which is pretty exciting. So at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, May is Mental Health Month. Can you tell us what are we supposed to be doing in May that we don't do the rest of the year?
Sure. So May is Mental Health Awareness Month. This is really designed to, you know, recognize the way mental illness impacts all of our lives, provide education for people about what available services the VA has to offer, and then also ways to advocate for areas where we have growth.
Now, David, when I was many decades ago, when I was in the Air Force, and I'm a Vietnam veteran, when people suffered from combat fatigue, or they called it PTSD afterwards, a lot of the troops were hesitant to come forth and talk about it because they thought it would adversely affect their career. I think that's changed over the decades, but is there still some hesitancy to talk about mental health?
Absolutely. There's still a pretty significant stigma regarding mental health. Again, oftentimes folks are hesitant to discuss their symptoms, and that's really what Mental Health Awareness Month is about, is to reduce that stigma and encourage that seeking treatment is healthy, is appropriate, and absolutely acceptable. So that's our goal, is to make sure that we can improve the overall well-being and provide a time and a space to have that conversation.
Well, it's a great conversation and something I think we need to talk about more and more. We're speaking with David Holowinski and Emma Podobinski from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system on Minnesota Military Radio. Emma, you were nodding your head up and down. We've had officers on from the Minnesota National Guard to talk about mental health and some issues that come up from time to time. And they tell us up one side and down the other that if you've got some problems, come forward, let's deal with them, get them fixed, put them behind us, and move on with your career. That hesitancy is just kind of built in, isn't it? What's your view on that?
Well, I was just thinking of an experience I had when I worked. I started up my career in the VA in the homeless programs, and I had a veteran come in one time, and I'm going to remember this. This is something I'll remember for the rest of my career. He was probably in his like late 20s, early 30s, and he had never been seen at the VA, and he was fully eligible for everything. And I go, okay, let's get you connected to healthcare. Let's do this stuff. Let's get you started. And he goes, no, I would never go to the VA. That's where my grandpa gets his healthcare, and I would never, very different healthcare. And I was like, oh, I had never realized that. And I don't think people know just how far the VA has come, because there are so many different services. And this Mental Health Month is going to highlight so many of these really cool programs that have been developed at the VA. You know, we have like an esketamine clinic. We do Tai Chi. We have yoga. We have all these things that I think are considered not traditional medicine. And I think it's just, you know, the understanding that the VA has really, truly come a long way. We're not just like your typical healthcare anymore.
David, I want to come back to you on this. I think people are talking about it more than they ever have. But is the VA a safe place? Is it somewhere that you can go and talk about this and get the help you need?
Absolutely, 100%. Our staff are really there to support the veteran, provide that veteran-centric care. And we really want to hear what the veterans are saying. And we have those services, and we value having that conversation.
And just to follow up with you, Emma, I'm sure you see veterans of all ages that come in, and they've got any number of things that they need help with. But Minneapolis VA healthcare system can help from soup to nuts. They can help you with whatever it needs and help you get back on course and get on with your life.
Yeah, it's just coming in. And, you know, I know that initial time is always vulnerable a little bit to, like, let people know that you need help and that you're wanting some services. But, you know, we have a whole health clinic. There's so many things. And we can tailor your care to fit, like, what it is that you need to feel better.
So it's not just the old guys, the Vietnam veterans coming around saying, oh, I got a problem, help me.
Yeah.
Young people should be comfortable coming in as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you have doctors and experts that know how to get the story out, take a look at it, examine it, put it behind you, move forward.
And figure out a treatment plan that'll work for you, right? Like, it's not always just traditional talk therapy anymore. There's many, many things that we can try to help tailor your care.
And David, when it comes to mental health and you have some issues and come out to the Minneapolis VA, are there different programs? Are there inpatient programs? Are there outpatient programs? What type of, what can we expect?
All of the above. We have some outpatient programs, a partial hospital program. We have inpatient medicine care, inpatient mental health care. Many of you are familiar with the St. Cloud VA. They have our inpatient mental health and substance use treatment track. So we share that service with St. Cloud. And we have everything from an addictions clinic to trauma, PTSD, whole health, hearing, audiology, whatever you may need, we will provide that service.
So, Emma, if some of our listeners are veterans and they're having some kind of mental health issue and they're hesitant to get a hold of you, how do they make the connection? Do they call their primary care? Do they just dial in and say, I need some help? What do they do?
Kind of all the above. All the above, like you said. Another really good one is the Veterans Crisis Line, too, and strongly encourage veterans to reach out to that when they're struggling. There's a whole clinic, the mental health intake clinic. You can come and get, you know, support the day of if you need to talk to someone the day of. Sometimes, right, we can't get you in to see your direct provider immediately, but you will still get care, and you can still get some bridging appointments until you get to see your primary care.
So, David, back on that, if they don't know who to call, they could just call the main number and say, I need some help. I think one of the first things when you call for an appointment says you need some mental health.
Absolutely.
Do this.
And you can also walk in. We have all of our outpatient clinics. If you walk in, we will get you set up with an appointment. We'll assess the urgency of care, and we'll go from there.
Now, some veterans are probably going to be hesitant to talk about this, and they want to kind of do it one-on-one and kind of they don't want to tell the whole world I'm having a problem. How would you tell them to deal with that?
You know, first is reach out. We have peer support. It can be to your county veteran service officer. It can be anyone at the VA. Just ask for help and tell them you're a veteran, and we will get you connected with the services that would most align with you. The hardest piece is asking that question, and for family and loved ones, asking your veteran or your soldier, how are you doing? Do you need help? Is a step they can take as well.
So just get started and be aware that you've got people that know what they're doing. They can do it confidentially, and they can help you.
Absolutely.
All right, David and Emma, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about Mental Health Month and specifically an idea that's called the Compact Act. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to David Holowinski and Emma Podobinski from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and we've been talking about May is Mental Health Month, and we're also going to talk about the Compact Act. But, David, May is Mental Health Month. I'm assuming you want everybody to think about this all year long, but in May we want to talk about it enough so they remember.
Most of our services in play and do the biggest effort to do that outreach to get veterans connected.
So it's be aware.
Be aware.
If there's any kind of a mental issue, any kind of hesitancy, any kind of, you have people that can help you take a look at it, understand it, deal with it, and move forward.
Absolutely.
All right. So May, Mental Health Month, everybody keep track of that. Emma, I want to come to you. We've teased it a little bit. The Compact Act.
Yes.
What is it and why should we care?
Yes. It's a great thing. So COMPACT is an acronym, and I'm going to tell you what that means.
Okay.
It stands for the Comprehensive Prevention, Access to Care, and Treatment. So we're not going to go around saying that.
COMPACT Act is just fine.
Yeah, COMPACT Act works just great for that. So COMPACT Act was implemented just over a year ago, and it is a program that is for veterans in acute suicidal crisis. It provides up to 30 days of inpatient care, residential care, as well as 90 days of outpatient care, and all services provided to veterans during that time that they're enrolled in this program is completely free to them.
So the Compact Act is about veterans' suicide prevention.
Yes, absolutely. It's for veterans that are in acute suicidal crisis.
And this actually is a new act. Sometime in the last year or so that was passed?
Yep. It was, I think, passed in 2020.
Passed in 2020, implemented early on January 17th of 2023.
Mm-hmm.
And David, correct me if I'm wrong, but as I recall, it means that if you're a veteran, whether you're part of the VA healthcare system or not, if you're having some issues and it has to do with you're thinking about suicide or you need some help with that, it allows them all to get care. Is that right?
Correct. The Compact Act opens up the door for 9 million veterans that previously would not have qualified under the veterans benefits package. And so they can get care at the VA or in the community or crisis response teams.
So Emma, what does that mean? If we've got a veteran out there that's having some issues or the family thinks they do they have to come down to the Minneapolis VA Medical Center? Can they go to the local clinic? Who can they go talk to?
All the above. You're saying all right. So they can go to their local hospital. They can come to the VA, also St. Cloud, too, as well. And there's a Compact Act as well there, so they can go there. As well as crisis outreach teams. There's a whole bunch in the community that are aware of this. And when they go out and they're meeting with veterans and they can assess for, that acute suicidal crisis to get them enrolled in the program.
So if they're talking to a doctor or a hospital or the VA, just say, I'm a veteran and I'm having some issues and I need some help. Is that enough for a civilian hospital to understand?
Yeah.
We need to take care of them?
Yep. There's a really good program that they go through. Most of the hospitals, they are aware of how to connect to the VA and how to submit the information needed to get these veterans enrolled in the program and connect to the VA.
So, David, this really opened the door to get help close to home and fast and to get you into the right programs.
Absolutely. We know time is of the essence when a veteran's in an acute suicidal crisis, and this is really designed for family to not have to worry about distance, our rural veterans to get to the closest emergency room, or again, you can also call the 988, press 1, the Veterans Crisis Line, and they can do the emergency dispatch to your location to get you the help you need.
So when you do call 988, press 1, it might be somebody that's not local, but they'll find out who you are, where you are, and they'll get you to the appropriate place.
Absolutely, and family members can call that too. It doesn't have to be the veteran.
We're talking about Mental Health Month and the Compact Act, which is to help prevent veteran suicide on Minnesota Military Radio. David, I want to come back to you. We're talking about veterans that are having issues. A lot of people are hesitant to talk to their veteran to say, how are you doing? But I've heard before when we've covered suicide prevention that you should watch your veteran. Has something changed? Are they drinking more? Are they depressed? Are they withdrawn? And at that point, you should ask the question, how you're doing.
Correct. Yeah, there's a big campaign nationally and even statewide called Ask the Question. And the most important question you can ask is, are you feeling like killing yourself, or do you need help? And those are two really important questions. If you're seeing signs of increased substance use or not sleeping, change in mood or behavior, those are all signs that family has the most instinctive reaction to, and they can reach out and ask that question and get the veteran help, hopefully.
So, Emma, can you walk us through this? Say a family calls and they said, my veteran's been drinking more. He won't talk to us. We ask him how he's doing. He's not doing anything. Can the family call 988+1?
Yeah, absolutely. That's designed for family members as well.
What's going to happen once they call?
So the veteran at that time, the crisis responder who responds to from the Veterans Crisis Line will just instruct them to get to probably the closest emergency department to just like really get to that inpatient care. And once they go into that, emergency room, they're going to be assessed by like a mental health provider who's going to really go through those questions with them. Like, what's going on? Tell us more about this. And also do like that risk assessment as well. Like, where are you? Do you have access to weapons? Do you have, an active plan right now? And if that assessor determines that this veteran is in acute suicidal crisis, that's when the ball starts rolling for Compact Act. They'll enter all the information they need to connect it to the VA, and they'll go from there.
What if the veteran just doesn't want to go?
Yeah, I think that's a thing as well. They'll be connected, on the phone with the Veterans Crisis Line. They're going to be responsive. And the suicide prevention team here at the VA is amazing and is going to be providing all those follow-up calls as often as possible. David, I'm not sure how often they do follow-up calls, but if a veteran isn't wanting to go inpatient, they're still connected.
Correct. Yeah, we have different levels of care that we can support veterans. Oftentimes nobody wants to go to the hospital. And so this is where family and supportive loved ones can really provide that additional support and oftentimes get them to where they need care. If they call 988, safety is our primary focus. And so we can, 988 can dispatch a mobile crisis unit local to your team that might be more familiar with you, your family, or we can get you to the emergency room if it's needed.
So if necessary, they can get somebody locally, might be the sheriff, might be a
Correct.
Doctor, come out and visit, sit down with the veteran. It's not a confrontational situation. It's, hi, how you doing?
It's supportive.
What are you thinking about? How can we help you?
Absolutely.
And then try to get them to the appropriate resource.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I imagine you've seen it all, and the crisis lines have seen it all, but I've also known a lot of veterans, and some of them get a little cranky once in a while, and some of them don't want to talk. But you've got people that have dealt with that.
Absolutely. We love to talk.
This is good. Emma, you're sitting over there smiling. The 988+1, those operators have been through a lot of this.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And they're well-trained.
Yes, absolutely.
So they know how to help and the right things to say?
Yep. Know what questions to ask, how to build rapport quickly with veterans, too. I think that's a part of it, is helping a veteran recognize that this is something that's, it shouldn't be stigmatized. This is something that's okay to be going through this. It's okay you're reaching out. Let us be there for you.
And get them in, help them get right,
yeah.
And then let them get back to living their lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's an end game there that sounds pretty good. That's
yep.
pretty important. We've only got a couple of minutes left. David, I want to come back to you. May's Mental Health Month. What else do you want to tell us about that?
Just, again, take advantage of these opportunities. I know your local community, there's a lot of veteran nonprofits and organizations that are really focused on recognizing whole health, knowing mind, body, spirit, physical health, mental health. Just be aware of it. Have that conversation. That's really what Mental Health Awareness Month is to start that conversation. Reduce that stigma and provide education that there are a lot of ways and places to get help.
And know and understand the VA can be your safe space.
Absolutely.
So that's a good place to go work it out, figure it out, and then get back to it.
Correct.
And Emma, the Compact Act, once again, that's designed to help with veteran suicide prevention.
Yes.
And it's really opened the doors, hasn't it?
Yep. Again, as David had said earlier, it has opened the door to 9 million more veterans that were not eligible for VA health care otherwise. So it's a really great thing to expand the reach of the VA.
So I don't have to worry about, how am I going to pay for this? Who am I going to talk to?
Yeah, care is completely free. Yep.
Over 300 veterans took advantage of it in the first year, and we're up to probably about 400 approximately right now.
Yeah, yep.
That is really, really good. And once again, all they have to do is call 988+1, either the veteran or the family.
Yeah, that's one of the ways. Yep, to get connected to the Compact Act. Yeah, that's one of them.
And if necessary, just go down to the local hospital and walk in and say, I'm a veteran, I'm having some trouble, I need some help, whether it's a mental health issue or I'm thinking about suicide. They'll get you started and help you sort it out.
And chances are when you're enrolled in Compact Act, if you're in, you know, the Minneapolis catchment area, you would be getting a letter from me explaining what it all means to you as a veteran. So,
and she wants to help folks, so try it out. David, Emma, I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That was David Holowinski and Emma Podobinski from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Hibbing Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to check in with the Hibbing Chisholm Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Brad Lindsay.
Minnesota Veterans Homes leaders are pleased to celebrate our employees during the Minnesota Veterans Home Week. It takes a special kind of person with very special qualities to choose a career caring for veterans. Compassion, dedication, and a commitment to hard work and a focus on making a real difference in the lives of residents and their families is something each of our employees has. Veterans Homes employees are vital to the success of our mission to serve those who have served. They are truly like extended family to our residents and walk alongside their loved ones as well, building relationships that make lasting impressions. Each May, we're proud to recognize employees' ongoing efforts to ensure an optimal quality of life for our residents as they deliver exceptional, award-winning care. Thank you, Minnesota Veterans Homes employees, for always bringing your best. You have consistently answered the call in meeting the needs of our residents. We're fortunate to have you as part of our team.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindsay. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Chris Magnuson is with the Hibbing Chisholm Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and she is one of the first co-chairs who started the Hibbing Chisholm Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network and is serving as its secretary. She's also a member of the American Legion and treasurer of the Hibbing DAV. Chris, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Most important that I didn't announce there is you're a Marine.
Yes.
Once a Marine, always a Marine is what they tell me.
Of course.
When and where did you serve and what did you do?
I was in the Marine Corps from 1984 to 1991. It was during the first Gulf War, but I didn't deploy at that time. I had been stationed at Camp Lejeune, and then I was at Rota, Spain during the Gulf War. I was a Special Intelligence Communication Center operator, so I'd have to kill you if I told you anything else.
Well,
just keep that in mind.
Interesting to hear. Special Intelligence and Marine.
Yes. So,
and don't shoot me. We're all good here. We're all good. And I understand that your full-time position is you work with the Veterans Benefit Administration.
Yes, I started there in October, so I'm still really learning a lot. There's a lot of rules you can imagine as we process claims.
And, of course, we talk on this show a lot that if a veteran has any type of mental or physical issue as a result of their service in the military, the first place they should go is their county veteran service officer.
Yes.
Talk to them about the problem. They'll help you start a claim. Then they send it into the Veterans Benefit Administration. And once it gets there, then
that's
you and a bunch of other people
start
from there. So how we keep hearing there's backlogs and backlogs, and a lot of those we've worked through, but there's a thing called the PACT Act that came out a couple of years ago that opened up claims to a lot of toxic exposures and those type of things. And I understand the number of claims have gone way up again since that happened.
Yes, there are quite a few claims in the backlog, but we're working on it. In the group I was hired with, they actually hired over 30 veteran service officers to process claims. So we get a bunch of us new on the ground, getting our feet wet, starting to process claims. So it's so much to learn, but we're on our way.
And that PACT Act kind of opened it up to a lot of new diseases that they've said likely are were a result of exposure to toxic exposures of some kind where you were serving. It goes back to Vietnam and the burn pits, and it affects a lot of people. So the county veteran service officers have been busy, and you probably got job security over at the CBA.
I think so.
All right. Now we want to talk today about the Hibbing Chisholm Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program. Hibbing is, I'm from Minneapolis. That's way up north.
Yeah.
Hibbing Chisholm. It's the Iron Range, isn't it?
It is, in the heart.
And are you a native from the Iron Range?
I am. Yep. I grew up in both Hibbing and Chisholm, going to school in both schools as I grew up.
So you got a couple of good things. You're a Marine and an Iron Ranger, and and you're taking care of our veterans. You're a busy lady.
Yes, I am. It's a, what could be better?
So what is the Hibbing Chisholm Beyond the Yellow Ribbon organization? What do they do? How did you get involved in that at the beginning?
Yeah, well, in about 2009, 2010, there was an article in the paper about both the Hibbing and the Chisholm National Guard units getting ready to deploy to Kuwait. And the National Guard was very concerned about those families being left home during a deployment like that. It hadn't happened in many, many years up there, so there was concerns about families. And like I said, I had served during the first Gulf War, and I didn't deploy, but I was married to another Marine at the time, and he did deploy. So I was still that parent that was left home dealing with a toddler on my own and the house problems and the car problems. So I knew what it was like, and what I was on a Navy base, so everybody around me had that same experience.
Now let's talk about that for a minute, because the deployed troop, no matter what they're in, they get into a battle rhythm. They get up every day about the same day. They work out. They go do their work. They do their things. They're worried about their family back home.
Right.
But they've almost got the easy part, because back home, anything can happen.
Right.
And the other spouse and the kids have to deal with it all.
Yep. While they're worrying about their spouse that's in that dangerous situation as well. So.
And communications today mean both sides know what's going on.
A little faster than during my day, yes.
And that can be a distraction for our deployed troops.
Yeah, it has its benefits and its negatives there too, yes, definitely.
Well, we hope they pay attention to the mission and get home safe.
Yes.
So the Hibbing Chisholm Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network is there to help the families while our deployed troops are gone.
Correct.
So it could be something as simple as it's the middle of the winter and it just snowed 2 feet.
Plowing snow, mowing grass, delivering meals to new moms, fixing cars. You never know what it's going to be from day to day.
Now, Chris, I've heard here in town, in the big suburbs, it's hard to identify the military families, and they're reluctant to step up and say, I need help. But up in Hibbing, which is not a small town, but it's a lot of people have lived there their whole lives.
Right.
You probably know who the military families are. Is it a little easier up there?
Not really, because they're more remote up there. So many are even rural or outside in the country rather than in downtown Hibbing kind of situation. So,
it's still hard. If they need help or not.
Right. We have to count on them going to their family service representatives and their unit. And that's how we find out about it. So they've got to be really willing to ask for help. But we try and make it very public that we are there so that they can feel comfortable asking for help.
So they know where you are. They know you're available to help. No matter what you need, you'll find the right resource.
Right, yep.
So once they're deployed, then you work with the units and try to get to know them and let them know that you're here?
We try to. It's a little harder now with the way the National Guard's set up. Not everybody, you know, lives in Hibbing, goes to the Hibbing unit. So it's a little harder to work with the troops. But we're there. And, you know, we make sure everybody knows they're on our email lists. They're invited to our meetings. And
there are other Yellow Ribbon communities all over the state.
Yes, communities all over the state. There's Beyond the Yellow Ribbon businesses, colleges, counties, hospitals, medical facilities. Yep, it's really growing and expanding across the state in all areas of need.
So whatever those families need, whether it's in Hibbing or it's halfway down to Minneapolis, whatever resources out there, whether they need a county veteran service officer, you can probably get them in touch with the appropriate resource.
Yeah, that's really what we've tried to do, is really be that networking piece that we can, you know, if they've got something that the DAV can help with, or, you know, they live in Maple Grove, I can connect them to the Maple Grove Beyond the Yellow Ribbon or wherever they are. And a lot of times there was somebody that was living in Grand Rapids and moving to Hibbing. Well, the Grand Rapids high school football team packed them up, and when they got to Hibbing, our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon unpacked them. So we know we work with the different communities to make things happen. Yes.
Okay, now the Hibbing Chisholm Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network, have you got a lot of volunteers or a lot of folks involved? Or are you always looking for more help?
Oh, always looking for more help. We've got a core team that has been working together for several years, and we're always looking for new people to add that fresh perspective and new blood to our ideas and keep growing.
So if any of our listeners up in that neck of the woods are interested in helping, how do they volunteer? How do they get a hold of you?
Yep. We've got an easy email address. It's BTYRHC, so Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, Hibbing Chisholm, @gmail.com. We've got a Facebook page as well. If you just go to Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, Hibbing Chisholm, you'll find us. That's the easiest way to get a hold of us.
And once you get a hold of them, then you're gonna rope them in and they're gonna help you.
we'll put them to work.
The Marine's not gonna let you get away.
That's right.
All right, that's great. We've been speaking with Chris Magnuson from the Hibbing Chisholm Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network. Chris, we've got to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk more about projects and events and some other things that you're involved in up there. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Chris Magnuson, our Marine that's in the studio today, who is involved in the Hibbing Chisholm Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network. And, Chris, we talked about a lot of the things that you were involved in, but there's one thing that I've seen in my briefing papers that you were part of the committee that revitalized the Women Veterans Initiative. Can you tell me what that is?
Yeah, well, the Women Veterans Initiative has been around for probably about 15 to 20 years, I believe. I got involved in them after we held a women veterans retreat up in northern Minnesota. I had expected that event to be a fun weekend and we'd go on our merry way. But after the women there learned how many women right by them were veterans, it grew into something that they wanted to become an organization.
To get back together again?
Yep, keep getting together. And we still do. We get together every month up there and we do events. But I had no idea how to manage that or to lead something like that. So that's when I approached the Women Veterans Initiative. And there were some very impressive women that were involved. So that's why I got involved, to learn from them. And then I got a great opportunity to learn from them. Our organization grew up north. COVID was a little bit hard on both groups, and the Women Veterans Initiative especially. But we've been revitalized. We have women now that are coming on board that are a lot of leaders from, like, the American Legion, the Disabled American Veterans, the VFW, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and the VA. So we've got a lot of strong leaders that bring a lot of experience in the community, in veterans issues, to the organization. And we're coming back alive and starting to begin planning things and supporting other women veterans initiatives. And it's just exciting to see it. We've got a Facebook page and a Facebook group. And we just recorded two interviews with our leadership talking about what it's like for being a woman transitioning from the military.
And, of course, more and more women are serving today. I understand the Minnesota National Guard, almost 25% of them are women.
Wow, yep, it's growing quickly.
And it's growing, but they're out there. And I'm afraid our listeners see somebody and says a veteran in a car, they think it's a guy. Well, it's not necessarily a guy anymore.
See, that's why the Women Veterans Initiative initiated the Women Veterans license plates. So you have to look for those out there. There's quite a few of us with those.
Keep an eye open and keep getting together and celebrate each other. It's great. I want to get back to the Hibbing Chisholm Beyond the Yellow Ribbon for a minute. I'm sure you've got some projects and events planned for the spring, summer.
Yep. We've got two annual events that we do. Coming up on May 16th, we have a veteran resource fair at the Hibbing Community College from 1 to 4. You can stop in. And we've got veteran service officers from the DAV coming in doing a benefit seminar. And then they'll be there to process claims. And we've got about 35 different providers, from the VA to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, MACV, the local veteran service groups, some health and wellness organizations.
Big event.
It is. It's growing. This is our fourth one. We keep moving to a little bit bigger locations each time. So.
And if our listeners want to find more information on that, do they go to Facebook?
Yep, on our Facebook page again at the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Hibbing Chisholm. Just look for that, and there's a flyer on there about the event.
And I'm sure you're looking for some volunteers.
Always, always.
Maybe a little donation.
Yep. Okay. We do partner with a lot of the other veterans groups in the area to do things like this, so we get some support from everybody.
Service organizations and all of those. And, of course, up north, do you ever get involved in the DAV has a lot of hunting events up at the
They
at
do,
the Camp
yep,
Ripley.
Hunting and fishing, and yep.
Got to get your lady veterans in
there. Oh, they do. There's a lot of them that fish up there. So,
very good. Once again, I asked you this in the first segment. How do people get involved? Do they just call up, write to you? What do they do?
Yep, they can call me. My phone number is 218-969-7137 or the btyrhc@gmail.com and on the Facebook as well.
All right, give Chris a call and get involved. Did you say there was a second event you wanted to tell me about?
We do. We have the Military Appreciation Day, the first day of the five best days of summer, which is the St. Louis County Fair in Chisholm. Okay. So that first day, come out and
five best days of summer.
Are during, yes. So come on up. All veterans and service members get free parking, get in free, and they also get the best foot long bratwurst and lemonade you can get from Schweibe's up on the range. So, you know, we've got benefit providers there as well. We have our mid-range honor guard does colors to open the fair. We're hoping to have the Veterans Memorial Center down in Duluth bring up their History in a Pint program because, well, we are right next to the beer garden, so okay. History in a Pint right there.
Now you said that was the five best days in summer. Which days are those?
July 31st is our day, so July 31st to August 5th, 4th.
And that's at the St. Louis County Fairgrounds?
In Chisholm, yes.
In Chisholm. All right. Put that on your calendars. Let's get up there, especially all you lady veterans. Chris wants you to come out and be part of the Women's Veterans Initiative and stick together and go hunting and fishing and shooting and whatever it is you like to do.
Winemaking, parades, national parks, crafts, we're out all over.
There we go. Chris, I'd like to thank you for joining us today and coming all the way down to the cities to be with us in the studio.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
You're welcome. That was Chris Magnuson with the Hibbing Chisholm Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network. Joining me now is Josh Benega, who is the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. Josh, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good to be on here as always, Tom. Glad to hear you.
Josh, I called kind of at a funny time. Did I interrupt you with a Vietnam veteran?
Actually, I have two Vietnam veterans in my waiting area right now.
Well, I'm glad you're taking care of my guys from Vietnam and getting them everything they need. I'll bet you're talking about the PACT Act.
Talking about the PACT Act, talking about the upcoming Vietnam Veteran commemoration at MOA, talking about things that are related to Agent Orange exposure and lots of things. I always have good conversations with the Vietnam guys.
Well, I'm glad the guys are up and walking and talking and meeting with you. I'm sure you're going to take good care of them and explain to them that the presumptive diseases have greatly expanded, and you know how to get them some care and get them to the VA.
Yeah, we do what we can, Tom.
Well, Josh, I can't believe it's 50 years since the end of the Vietnam War, but on June 14th, at the Mall of America, the state of Minnesota with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is putting on an event to honor my fellow Vietnam veterans and myself. I'll be there as MC, and I'm sure you're going to be there with a table so that you can help all of those Vietnam veterans that come in and have questions about their service.
Well, I know MACVSO is having a team of CVSOs that are going to be there at a table. I don't think I can make it. I think I have a trip planned during that event, but I've been on the planning committee since last year, and it's just with the budget they have and the training and the people they're going to have out there, it's going to be an amazing turnout, I think.
And, of course, all of your county veteran service officers train. They get together a couple times a year to learn. They know where the resources are. They know how to start the claims. They know how to help our veterans. So you'll have some terrific people down there at Mall of America on June 14th to help any of our Vietnam veterans that might have questions or issues.
You know, next week we have a National Association of County Veteran Service Officers as their annual conference. And I'll be there along with many other Minnesota CVSOs, but I can't wait to brag about how Minnesota stands alone in our training and our CVSOs and just the quality of people that we have in these positions. I can't wait to brag about that.
So you're going to be out in Denver with county veteran service officers from all over the country.
Yes. National Association of County VSOs advocates for America's veterans. They train and educate CVSOs and veterans advocates and, you know, all sorts of submission and representation of claims with the VA. We have an annual conference where you get together and, compare notes, and it's amazing that CVSOs, you know, we got a lot in common with each other, regardless of where we live, on the East Coast, West Coast, Upper Midwest, the South. You know, we all have the same job, and that's taking care of our veterans.
Well, that's great. I hope you have a great trip. Going back to the June Vietnam Veterans event at Mall of America, I understand they're going to have some people there that can take a toxic exposure test, which those Vietnam veterans and other veterans might want to take to see if they're eligible for some care.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a toxic exposure screening, and they have a couple of procedures that are run, probably an interview, and see if some health concerns come up, and we can get them all situated, get them some health care, and probably get them some benefits as well.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing your people at that event, and I want to thank you for joining us again today, Josh.
Thank you, Tom. It's been a pleasure, as always.
This is Josh Benenga, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, David Holowinski and Emma Podobinski from the Minneapolis VA, Chris Magnuson from the Hibbing Chisholm Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network, Josh Benega from the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, Commissioner Brad Lindsay of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we talk about the Chanhassen American Legion helping out Fort Snelling National Cemetery, check in on the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs state cemeteries, and get an update from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at Minnesota. Go to militaryradio.com.